Hello and welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, June 9th, 2026. I'm happy to be here, as I always am, to be with you live every week. But I'm especially happy today because C.A. Brooks is joining me for our June 2026 Meeting of the Minds. We do this usually every second Tuesday unless somebody's schedule gets kind of out of whack. But it's a show I always look forward to because we have a good discussion. And if you would like to be part of it, we are live on 12radio.com and streaming live on YouTube. You can go to 12radio.com and click chat for the chat room there. And then the YouTube link is posted under my banner. Or you can subscribe to my channel. It's www.youtube.com/@KellyW1850. And it's Empowerment with Kelly Whetstone over on YouTube. Well, as I said, I always look forward to our show with my show with CA, and we do really like to talk. we both have Mercury in Aries, so we really like to talk and we can really get going. So we may or may not have time for readings today. We'll see how the conversation goes. But if you would like a reading, you can find both of us on 12listen.com. I'm available every day, usually later morning Pacific into the evening. If you stop by and don't see me, or if I happen to be busy, just schedule a call, put in a callback request, and I'll be notified immediately, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Friday is 1-2 day. That's our favorite day of the month. At 12listen, we have random reduced rates on calls and chats all day long. We also have special pricing on time-based sessions and other services. I'll be online about 11 o'clock Pacific time into the evening. 11 a.m. Pacific time into the evening, and I would love to talk to you. We also have reduced rates on calls and chats a few times a week, typically Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday, and then other days, other random days, astrological things. But if you would like to be notified of our specials, go to 12listen.com and sign up for 12 promotions. And that just means you leave your email address, and then you never miss anything, and Mark sends out the best postcards. I know I say that every week, but he really does. And I just want to thank you again for being here today. And thank you for listening. I always blast through my announcements when CA is here because I want to get to our conversation. But, you know, 12 Radio, there's programming 24/7. And you can find archives of all of the shows from all of the hosts on 12 Radio in the on-demand section at 12radio.com. It's a great source of inspiration, information, and support, so I do encourage you to take advantage. And I want to say thanks to Serena for producing the show today and for all she does for me and us on 12 Radio. So, I'm going to take a breath here because I'm talking too fast and not breathing. That'd be great if you just hear a big thud. That's me. I passed out. Sip of peppermint tea. Okay, as you know, as I've just said, I'm always glad to have CA on the show with me. If you are unfamiliar with CA Brooks, she is a 12listen advisor, a clairvoyant astrologer, animal communicator, an avid student of A Course in Miracles, among other things. She writes the Week Ahead section of the Power Peak, Mark Hessen's weekly newsletter. And she hosts Everyday Astrology here on 12 Radio, which immediately precedes Empowerment live every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific and streams live on YouTube. She has podcasts of her Course in Miracles show available in the on-demand section at 12radio.com as well. Our Meeting of the Minds is, it's called that because we just get to bring everything to the table. Everything and anything. Spirituality, which is my bliss. But astrology, tarot, feng shui, you know, stories about our families, dogs, weather, anything and everything else are just welcome. And that's the beauty of it. You know, it's wonderful. I love my show. It's a teaching platform, but it is so much fun to, you know, throw out an idea, something that's been tapping me on the shoulder, talk about it for a minute, and then turn it over and see what CA has to offer, you know, what she has to say about it, what it stirs up in her. So it's a lovely communication. We have a great agreement, and these shows are just the best. And today, speaking of topic, I don't know if it's really a topic or just some things that are rolling around in my head that I want to talk to CA about. So here goes. Empaths, empaths, empathy, being empathic. That's the basis of this. That's like the foundation of this. And this is what I teach. You know, when I teach my You Empowered or the Empowered Intuitive classes, that's exactly what I teach. And I talk about it all the time. If you are empathic, you feel other people's feelings. That's what an empath is. Positively speaking, it can make us more compassionate and caring. Negatively speaking, it can feel like you have to do something about other people's problems, other people's sufferings. And because if they feel better, you will feel better. Again, you're feeling them, which makes you want to do something about that. If they ask for your help, give it. If they don't, and you're determined to help anyway, you are completely out of bounds and infringing on their evolution. We grow and realize who we are by overcoming adversity. And that's what we came here to do. And nobody ever got gypped on the God factor. Nobody. And I know I've talked about this a million times, but it's really important. And I've recently had a new realization about it. So that's what I'm going to get to. But I just want to set the stage by saying that, you know, doing something for someone that they can do for themselves is enabling. It's not helping. And in fact, where their higher self is concerned, it's disrespectful. It truly is disrespectful. You know, you jump in and you fix it and you feel better, but it's a band-aid because life is going to keep on being life. It just keeps coming. It just keeps changing. That's what we're here to experience, to watch it kind of like a movie, for lack of a better metaphor, but to watch it, to see it, but to know that within us is what's creating it. You know? That infinite self, that total source that we are never separate from, the infinite God mind. So life's going to keep on being life. And the next time the person that you rescued encounters a similar situation, they may not know how to handle it. And if you're around, they may just come back and ask you to fix it again. And maybe then you don't want to. Because you helped them before, and they should be able to take care of themselves, and then you're the bad guy for saying no. Bottom line is, we create our own monsters by not staying in our own lane. We disempower other people, and we disempower our children by overcaring and overdoing. And where kids and family is concerned, there can be other motives, a lot of other motives tangled up in there too. But when we're empathic, if we want to help someone because we are feeling their pain, our job is not to fix them, but to look at ourselves, you know, to fix ourselves. Number one, firstly, realize this is our perception of their situation. And so what do? We use our tools. We ground, we release energy, meditate, detach, etc. There are a lot of things. Get somebody to help. Get somebody to clear your energy for you. You know, it's up to us to use what we need, what we know to use to get back to ourselves and to honor their infinite self by getting out of the way. But here's a twist. And this is the realization that came to me just a couple days ago. I was talking to my cousin B, who is one of the sweetest people I have ever known. She's a healer. She's incredibly empathic. And she was talking to me about her best friend who's going through a really tough time and is totally swallowed up in drama. My cousin said, "I feel so bad for her. I pray for her. I keep trying to help her. And I offer ideas to help, but she never takes my advice. She just keeps coming back saying things are worse. And I feel so bad. She's just constantly on my mind and I don't know what to do." And so, as I said, my cousin is a light, a beautiful, loving spirit. And her friend, what was happening, what I realized is her friend was in effect using her light, B's vibration to feel better by unloading her misery on B. And because B is a healer and an empath, she was just taking it. And so she was all loaded down with it. But she was frustrated because she kept offering suggestions to help. But instead of taking them, her friend just kept coming back with more drama. And I know personally how frustrating that is. But misery loves company. Someone's complaining, here's, you know, and you offer a solution. And they say, "I don't want to do that." They don't want to fix it. They want agreement. They want you to commiserate because then their misery is validated. Don't do it. You know, if you want to help someone, you cannot match their vibration. You cannot, you know, you can't. You have to have your own vibration, which is outside of that. And included in your vibration has to be some neutrality. Because you can't jump into someone else's problem and help them with that problem. You, by jumping into it, by you know, vibrating at that same rate, or so to speak, what you're doing is you're adding agreement to their misery, and agreement expands whatever it's given to. It just does. And then, you know, again, here you are, you've got all their stuff glommed onto you, and you got to get rid of it because it's become part of it's in your space. It's become part of your space. So you have to clear it. It's your responsibility then, not theirs, no matter what. That's how it works. So my advice to B was to detach and set boundaries where her friend is concerned, to have a spirit-to-spirit conversation with her friend. And you do that. These are very, very viable. They work so well. You get quiet. You imagine whoever it is sitting across from you, and you just talk to them. But you come from a space of neutrality and love, but you come from a place of being very solid in your own being. And you just say what you have to say. And I offered to be to just let her know that she's not available to be dumped on anymore. You know, that she's just not available to just be there. And, you know, so that her friend got the benefit of her energy, but then she was left with a bunch of stuff she had to clear. And that's not selfish. That you have to take care of yourself, and you can't, and being clear means you've got your whole, all of your energy to give the world. And whatever it is that you do. And plus, you feel better. So this is the same thing, really. It's the other side of the coin, maybe, as interfering in someone's evolution by fixing something for them. In this case, the person that keeps coming back to share their drama feels better, but they haven't taken care of the situation they're in. They're not moving ahead. So this is another Band-Aid, right? So they're not, you know, they're not solving anything. They're not empowering themselves. They're just, you know, dumping a little energy, feeling better, and then they're still in it. So, you know, really and truly, I do believe this. Everything that happens in our lives, in our experience, is for us. F-O-R, capital, us. Good, bad, or indifferent. It's for our growth if we use it. It's all an inside job. It's everything that we're seeing, everything that we're experiencing, our friends, everybody that comes into our lives, everything and everyone is showing us ourselves. So if we want things to be different, we can only change us. We can only change us. And loving your friend, it doesn't, you know, setting those boundaries doesn't mean you're kicking your friend to the curb. You're loving them and you're respecting them for who they are. The individualization of source. Loving someone does not mean bearing their pain or trying to keep them from encountering pain. It's being supportive while they have their experience. This exalts God in the midst of them and in the midst of you. So on that note, I want to welcome CA. Thanks for being here today. And just tell me what you think.
Well, so many good ideas, Kelly, and thank you very much for inviting me onto the show and for this kind of standing date on the second Tuesday of the month. It's always wonderful to just, you know, to collaborate, to cooperate. So thank you very much.
Good.
But so many things going through my head. Wonderful, wonderful topic that, of course, is also a topic that we continue to deal with. I mean, even... Never going to get to the point, I don't think, when we go, okay, I got this handled, I got this figured out. But, you know, I have to, I just want to introduce a couple of things that I find very interesting and funny and just the synchronicity of it all. Because you were born with a Pisces moon, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And, I mean, I know that. I've got your chart sitting right here. But anyway, the way it's funny is because I was actually... I was actually thinking about you yesterday because that, you know, I'm very into the moon phase astrology and there's 96 different phases of the moon. Well, the moon was in Pisces yesterday in exactly the phase of when you were born.
Wow.
And so whenever I see that moon, I go, oh, there's Kelly's moon. But if there would be a good description of this moon, it's the empath. Because... Oh. It's Pisces and all the water, you know, moons are all, or the water signs in general, even if it's not just a moon, if you've got a lot of planets in water, you know, it's like you can't separate water from water, if you know what I mean. So we just naturally flow into that other person. There's not a natural boundary unless we create it. But you are incredibly psychic, incredibly empathic, and yet I always associate you with the word boundaries. You're one of the people, you are the queen of boundaries. I mean, you hopefully or maybe at some point learned early on that's what you had to have. And it's not about not loving a person, or it's not about shutting down the empathy. It's about all the things you talked about it, you know, disempowering others by kind of taking over their job, by not giving them the opportunity to do it themselves. I mean, it's kind of like, think about a typical two-year-old and you want to dress them. Here, you're going to wear this little shirt and these little shorts or whatever. But what do they typically say? I want to do it. I want to do it. You know, that typical sense of you need to differentiate yourself from authority or from, and sorry, let me close my door. My dog's going crazy. Lord knows, you know, a car on the street. Can't have that, Kelly. He's just doing his job.
My mom used to say a gnat hit the window and Grace went crazy.
Well, and it's so funny. He's just doing his job, so I don't want to yell at him.
Yep.
But in any case, this idea that we disempower other people because we're taking over what they should do. And yet what you're talking about, I think, is very... I don't want to use the word serious, but, you know, knowing where we are empathic. Now, some people are naturally compassionate and caring, but they may or may not be empathic. And I think on the point of, you know, being psychic or being intuitive, yeah, sometimes we just know, oh, my God, this energy just flows into me. You know, you walk into the room and you become like that psychic sponge. I'm just taking on other people's energy. So if you are that kind of person, it's so important to know that. And it's so important then to have some tools to be able to deal with it. But truly, it's just funny that you'd be talking about it today when literally that's what the moon was doing yesterday. It was in your sign, which, like I said, is a natural empath. When it's in, you know, like the last part of the lunar cycle and it's in Pisces, we just become that natural person of, you know, caring and compassion and everything that you said. But there were other things that were going through my mind too. And partially what I want to say, I said before, which is there's no easy fix for that either. It's a continuing thing. It's kind of like thinking, oh, I'm going to take a breath and I'm not going to need another one. Or I'm going to eat breakfast and then I don't have to eat again. You know, or I slept last night. Why would I ever need to sleep again? This kind of issue, I think, is something that especially when you are that very sensitive, receptive person, then you work with it every single moment. And trust yourself. Sometimes you'll do a good job, sometimes you won't, and just go, yep, that I needed stronger boundaries there, and just continue to find those tools that work well. I remember one book I had read one time. The woman had suggested that you just continually see yourself like with a red rose or some kind of flower right in front of you. And that is your boundary, is this beautiful smelling looking rose. But when it gets battered by somebody else's issues, you know, and you're using it kind of as a defense, then you go, okay, thank you, Rose. And you create a brand new one right away. And I liked that kind of thinking, because it wasn't like, oh, that person's toxic, I'm going to keep them away from me. You know, there wasn't any negativity associated with it, but it was just simply that I continue to renew my boundaries. They look good to other people. They smell good to other people. Same with me. But you know what? They can only take so much. And then I need to just refresh. So, you know, I would offer that idea too. But oh my God, I mean, actually there were just so many things going through my mind. I feel like I'm just like blah, blah, blah. But the other thing that came to mind was when I was in college, well, you know, I'm the oldest daughter in a family of 10 children. I had an older brother, but so I'm the chronic older sister, you know, that's who I am. And whether you want to look at the Enneagram and say, oh, she's a number one, or you want to look at my astrology chart and say, oh, look at all the Aries. I'm a Pisces sun too. And so I'm forever the older sister. And so even when I went to college, I became an advisor in the dorm. And everything that you're saying, I wish I knew you in college, because you could have talked me through all this stuff, because I didn't know how to set boundaries. And in some ways, it was my job. When somebody had an issue or somebody was upset, it was my job on the floor. And I think I had 60 or 80, you know, girls on my floor. It was my job to kind of, you know, to overlook, to take care of them, or to be the mother, or to listen to
counselor.
Them. Yeah, to be the older sister. Yeah, I was a counselor. So, but what I found was so interesting, because, you know, it's like you learn through the experience. And at first I was like so taken aback, and this happened actually more with friends than it happened with just, you know, people that were coming to me on the floor. But, and that is, they, you know, always boys, always the issues with the boys, right? You know, when you're 18 years old. And
of course,
but somebody would have a major issue with a boyfriend or this guy or that guy or whatever. And I'd talk him through it, or let him, you know, stay with me or whatever it was. But as soon as they were over it or felt okay, they didn't want me in their life.
Yeah.
And especially when that was a friend, I'm like, we've been friends for years, and now what's going on? And I realized what was going on. Wow. Two things.
Yep.
One, I probably had disempowered them by not letting them stand up and solve some of their own problems. But the other issue is that when a person has gone through something like that, like they felt very vulnerable, then the last person they want in their life is the one who reminds them of that period.
Right.
That's how I interpret it. Because they didn't want me in that, you know, because were they afraid I was going to say something in front of other people? Like, oh yeah, remember how bad that was? But it was just like, I would say I lost several friendships, or that's how it felt. And mm-hmm. of course, I quickly started realizing, not quickly, no, in fact, it wasn't quick at all. I finally realized those people were not your friends. They weren't friends. They weren't offering friendship. They wanted help. And once they got mm-hmm. the help they thought they needed, they were gone. And mm-hmm. I confused it like, hey, we're good friends. Mm-hmm. And you know, to this day, that is such an important thing in my life, Kelly, that, you know, because, and there again, I think it's the empathy thing. I think it's like, oh, I meet somebody and go, oh, we're really two of a kind and we're going to be friends. But if I really look at what's going on in the relationship, they're always asking for something. Mm-hmm. And when I finally realize that they're always asking for something, they're not offering. And then I can choose how much I want to give, but I really say to myself, don't get confused. This person is not offering friendship. So I think that's another piece of it that is really helpful to understand is that, yeah, we can be there as comfort. And the more when we have good boundaries or when we just work through it, and by the way, it's not a matter, and you know, I mean, you know this, I know I'm just talking to the choir here, but it's not a matter of thinking I've got something superior they don't have. You know, it's just a matter of letting them talk things out. Because in fact, that's the other piece I was going to say. More often than not, if I let somebody just talk out what they're upset about, they come up to their own solution. Exactly. I don't have to give them a solution.
It's they know it. That energy.
Mm-hmm. They know it. You know, they've talked through it. They've worked through it. And they're like, yeah. So sometimes I think it's not a matter of really fixing somebody, you know, and figuring out a solution for them. It's giving them a safe space as a sounding board or to let them figure it out for themselves.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, and it was interesting. I just want to say this before I forget. When you were talking about the Rose tool that you read about, that's in my education. Another way to hold your space, your energy, is to bring your aura in arm's length and just put a beautiful colored bubble around it. But then put roses. I call them guardian roses. They were called protection roses in my education. But I figure if you think you need protection from something, something's going to show up that you need protection from.
Well, right.
So I don't particularly like the word protection, but I love guardian rose. And you just put one in front, behind, left, right, above, and below your bubble, and you ground them to the center of the earth. And they do that. Mm-hmm. They ground out energy before it even gets to you. And they're just beautiful, graceful beings. So, yeah, that's a great tool. That's a really great tool.
Yeah, I wish I could remember who said that, but sorry, I don't. You know, it was mm-hmm. a book that I had forever, and it was mostly on chakras. I think it's one of those books that, you know, eventually I passed it on to somebody else.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, also going back to that word protection, you're right. I love boundaries versus defenses. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, the minute you think mm-hmm. you need to be protected, you need to be defended from something, then you're creating an us-them situation, which never right. really feels okay.
I agree.
You know, and mm-hmm. that's why, too, I've steered clear. Every once in a while, I still use it. But I steer clear of talking about situations or people as being toxic.
Oh, yeah, no.
And simply because, you know, depending on the circumstances, number one, depending on the circumstances, anything can be toxic. Wine can be mm-hmm. delicious, you know, with dinner, mm-hmm. but it can be really toxic if you drink enough of it. And granted, I get it. In certain situations, you just have to go, well, I just can't take any more of this tonight, you know, in a situation or with people or something. But as we change our language and just say, you know what? I love going back to the statement, and nobody really knows who first said it. I mean, I think a lot of times it goes to Plato, but it's everybody's fighting a tough battle. Mm-hmm. No matter what it looks like, everybody is fighting a tough battle. You know, they're mm-hmm. out there too, sometimes feeling beaten up or feeling like they're scared or they're worried or they're not sure how something's going to work out. Everybody's fighting a hard battle. You know, so, and here again, bringing it to A Course in Miracles and other philosophies, if there's only two emotions, fear and love, then somebody is always, no matter what their behavior is, they're either offering you love or they're asking for love. And so what's the appropriate response? It's always going to be the same, to give love. Whether somebody's offering it or asking for it. And just even changing your mind and going, you know what that person is really doing? I hear, you know, they're flailing all over, or, you know, doing this, that, and the other thing. But all they're really doing is asking you for love. Tell me everything's going to be okay. Tell me that I'm okay, that this is okay, that I don't need to be afraid. And when we can change that in our own heads, you know, it's so incredibly helpful, I think.
Right. That's good. I like that.
But they're not broken. They're not any more broken than we are, you know? We're just...
Everybody's just doing their thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really. Yeah. We're all just, you know, swimming through this psychic sea, you know, this universal consciousness that contains everybody's feelings and emotions that's ever been on the planet.
Yeah.
And that's what we're influenced by. And of course, you know, our families and the way we were raised and our experiences, of course. But everybody's just doing that. And everybody is just who they are. And if we can just be okay with who they are, we're free. You know, we're free. That eliminates a ton of misery or confusion. It's just that's how they are. You can't fix them.
Mm-hmm.
But you can look inside you and figure and find out just by working with yourself why you react the way you do to them. You know, what they bring up in you, what do you believe about that? And then you're free, and then once you do that, you're free of that too.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what made you, was there something going on that made you think of empathy or empath for this show?
Yeah, it was that conversation that I had.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry about
because
that.
It was like,
I'd already gone too far down the road.
Yeah. Because it was just so, you know, it was neat because it was like a conversation. I was trying to help her. But it just kept developing. Like, well, this person, your friend, is. I also had the feeling that when her friend talked to her, that the situation got even more blown up. Uh-huh. You know, almost kind of more exaggerated when she talked to B, because again, she was getting relief and release from that by talking. Because we do that. You know, we release energy by talking things out. Like you said, people will talk their way around and feel much, much better. But I think it was really just the fact that they have work to do. We all have work to do. But that person has work to do in addressing the situation. This is what's happening in her life. And the more she comes and kind of feels a little better after talking to B, the more she's putting that off. So that was just an interesting thing to realize. So, you know, we're all here. Everybody's here to experience life. That's it. Period. And, you know, either we accept what's going on or we suffer because we want it to be different. I mean, I think that's it. Accept or suffer. And suffer is a big word, but I like that word because we do, and we are we're always responsible for our own suffering because we can make a different choice. We can choose not to suffer by looking at whatever it is that's making us miserable. And it may take a few days. It may take revisiting a meditation or an exercise or a releasing. It's not always instant, but it's worth the work because it makes space in your space. And that's what you need to feel good, to be who you are and to give what you have to give to the rest of your world. And most of all, to yourself. We all want to feel good. We want to be at the top of our game. So that was just a really interesting thing. You know, talk about, it's kind of like it was a little exercise in avoiding. You know, maybe she hoped that the situation would be better after she let go of that energy, but it wasn't going to be. It needed to be addressed.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I kind of go back to the two-year-old wanting to dress themselves or, you know, whatever. You know, we all have within us this need to grow and to grow in meaningful ways. And so it's natural that we don't want to be dependent on other people, even though we sometimes create those situations. We never feel good about ourselves.
No. You know,
I mean, we really don't. And so that two-year-old or the one going, me, you know, I want to learn how to do this. They're not going to be satisfied by sitting in a little chair and let their parents wait on them. And not because they have some great psychological insight. It's just who we are. You know, it's like whether you want to consider it the divine spark or any other spark within us, we want to become authentic, independent beings able to interact with our environment and with other people. And so even the two-year-old knows that. Let me do it. I want this. I want that. I want to express myself. I want to have some level of independence. I mean, people really do. Even though they sometimes don't act like that's what they want. You know, inside, they want to feel like, I'm going to be okay because I know I'm going to be okay. I'm okay because I do have an inner voice. I do have an inner connection. I'm not dependent on Kelly channeling for me. I'm not dependent on CA telling me where the planets are. It's nice. There's wonderful conversations, but I'm going to be okay because I've got the connection.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's figuring out that you can have that. You know what I mean? That you can actually experience that. That is your natural self, your natural beingness.
Yes.
It's there. But getting out of the way with your head, you know, your mind or whatever it is, that's the trick.
Yeah.
That's our whole what do I want to say? That's our whole job here in incarnations, is figuring out that all we need to do is get out of the way.
Right. Right.
And let that infinite God self take over. And then we're free. And I mean, it happens in little bits. But boy, when it happens, it's like, that's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. And then we can have more and more.
Yeah. Well, and you also think about psychologically how we learn things and you know, like how we learn to walk, how we learn to dance or ride a bike or write a sentence or whatever. If somebody else comes along and solves it for us, like if dad does our homework, you know, does our math homework or comes along, then what happens when we have to do it for ourselves? It's very nice in the moment. Oh, I didn't want to do that. You know, dad says he'll do my homework or whatever, or maybe AI will do my homework. That's great, but what when you need to do it on your own? And you really, like you said, you alluded to this, you don't have the tools. You don't know how to do it. And I think that, you know, like with almost anything, like I'll use this as an example. I love to play the piano, but quite honestly, I have been really lax in the last, I'd say, 6 months. And I've let a lot of other things push it out of the way. So then I go about a week ago to the piano and I just said, you know what? I'm going to play for a few minutes, at least every day. I'm just going to play. I love to play. I want to do this. But I look at some of that music and I go, is that a C? Is that an F? I was never good at reading music anyway, but it doesn't help if I don't read it. You know, it's not going to magically by osmosis. I'm not going to learn how to read music. And so I go to these pieces that I've been able to play and I'm just struggling through them like a beginner. But what I find is every single day, if I will just even spend 5 minutes or 10 minutes, just struggle to do it, read the music, you'll remember. And then, you know, get the fingering on whatever it is. And it's amazing to me how quickly, you know, it builds. One day, on the next day, on the next day. And so not getting frustrated and saying, you used to be able to read this and play it perfectly. I just don't go there. I just go build every single day. Yesterday, you were able to go this far. Tomorrow, you'll go. And it feels
and
good.
It's joyful.
Yes, it feels good to be able to do that, but that's how we learn. And so when you take that away from somebody, whenever you take away, even though it looks like you're doing a good thing, okay, let me do that for you. When you do it, then you don't get that joy. You don't get that satisfaction because somebody else did it. You know, and once again, whether it's human nature or divinity nature, whatever, you know, that building upon success is something that we have to do for ourselves. And yet, you know, I mean, I'm kind of thinking of a number of situations that I have been familiar with in my life. And specifically like, I don't know, just you want to help a person out and they seem really in need of help. But then you help them only to find out the next time they fall down. And I'll give the example. I know somebody who has had a desperate problem with alcohol. Well, she has wrecked 5 cars. She has bought maybe only one of them because what would happen is she, you know, and I mean, I think she's got 6 DUIs. I mean, it's a chronic problem.
Holy cow. Wow.
Yeah. Holy cow. But that's the thing. Everybody goes, oh, no. You know, we have to save her. She can't go to jail or we need to give her a car. You can't make it in the world without a car. I think people have given her cars 4 times. Oh. Different family members, friends, whatever, go, oh, yeah, we got to help her out. She can't be without a car. Well, now, like I said, it's either 5 or 6 that she's totaled.
Wow.
And
wow.
I just want to go back and look at those people because actually from the very beginning, I mean, and it's not an I told you so. This, by the way, Kelly, comes to me through experience, you know, it just comes through experience. And I go, if she does not work to figure out how to buy another car, she has no investment in the car. That's true too. I mean, I think that's true for a lot of things in our lives. We don't have the investment in it. Well, so what has happened? And each time the person is just flabbergasted, like, oh my God, I can't believe she wrecked that car I gave her. Well, somebody else I really had to look at her chart and figure out how she has that karma that people keep giving her cars. You know, because somebody will give her another car.
I'm trying to figure out how she could still be able to drive. I mean,
me too.
I don't know how she has a license.
Well, me too. And in truth, she actually did go to jail for a while on one of the DUIs. But there again, she gets out and then it's almost like it's wiped clean. You know, I don't know, Kelly, but the point to me is how many times do you have to go through this experience and say you're not helping her? Giving her the car does not help her. And yet, you know, I hear people say, oh, but you know what? She can't be walking to the grocery store. You know, she needs. And it's like, yeah, but it's not important enough to her to figure out how to make that happen.
Right.
You know, I get it.
Deliver groceries.
Yeah. But I just think I'll bet you there are people in the audience that really relate because obviously we are a society that in some ways is plagued by addiction. And, you know, and of course with alcohol, it's so socially acceptable, but there again, there's a fine line between when it really is addictive or it's ruining our lives and we just don't even know it. But so a lot of people, they've either struggled with it themselves or they've struggled with family members or struggled with friends. But I do think it's one of the hardest things in the world because when a person is that low or there again, you know, they don't have a car, they don't have a job, they've been fired or whatever happens. And you're like, you can't just leave them. You just can't leave them. But by not letting her figure it out, she has literally lived decades without ever figuring it out.
Right.
That particular person. And And yeah, I'm at wit's end. It's like, okay, I don't know. I mean, it is good for me because I can honestly say, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I can't fix it. You know?
No, and it's nobody's job but hers to fix.
Right.
I mean, that's, and you, people are pretty industrious if they're left to it.
Absolutely. See, that's exactly, I'm glad you said that too. It's amazing how people come up with solutions when nobody steps up to do it for them.
Well, when you have to, you have to. And, yeah. And they do. And the thing too is when you have to, then you're in a space of allowing it to come in. Yes. You know what I mean? The ideas, the creative ideas or whatever it is. But if everything is just, you just assume they're going to be, you're going to be taken care of because you have been all along. What's the motivation? None.
Yes. Well, and the industriousness, that's the other thing, the creativity and industrious. I'm kind of smiling because I remember years and years ago, a coworker of mine, her mother, who was actually aging, but her mother was struggling with alcohol addiction. And so my friend, being very, very, you know, she was really trying to do the best thing possible. She rented her mother a place in the mountains where she was in somewhat, you know, isolated, but close enough to my friend. But my friend was like, oh, you know, now she can't get the alcohol. I will take her to the store. This is all going to work out beautifully. Well, guess what? Her mom figured out how to order again.
Sure.
You know, and she's like, I went to her house and I took out her trash and there's all these like gallons of vodka. You know, I'm like, and by the way, this was pre-COVID. I mean, this was years ago. So she was just astonished. How did she get it? I go, she probably ordered it to be delivered, you know? And it's like, people are incredibly industrious and creative when they're going after what they want. And I mean, I could tell you a lot more stories because the pattern just continued no matter what my friend did. I think she even visited some of the liquor stores and said, do not sell to this person or whatever. She did all these things, always trying to interfere with the process of her mother getting alcohol. And she never succeeded because her mother always found a solution around it.
Uh-huh.
Always.
Oh, and that's funny.
It's and in a sense, it's not funny at all, but it's like, let her be industrious. You're not going to interfere with the process. You can talk to her. You can love her as much as you can. I you know, I didn't know what to tell her.
Yeah. Well, you can't. And anytime addiction comes up, like in this conversation, I think of Stuart Wilde. And one of his seminars that he was giving, and this woman said, well, I want to get my husband to stop smoking. And he said, listen, the minute it's more important for your husband to be a non-smoker than a smoker, he'll quit.
Yeah.
And that's true for anything.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and you know, I realize we're getting close to the end of the time, and I do want to say a quote by Leo Tolstoy. I've been looking at him recently, mostly because he has Venus in Leo, which Venus is moving into Leo. But one of his quotes that I absolutely love is, everyone thinks of changing the world, but no one thinks of changing himself.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that because that plays into this too. Of course, we want to be empathetic people. We want to be loving brothers and sisters and loving parents and loving friends and being the good, you know, the good neighbor and whatever it is. But most of what is going on, we always want to change the world, but we can barely change ourselves. And if we would just focus on what is it I can do in my life to stay connected to whatever my authenticity is, to my divine spark, to my divine whatever, it's going to lead us in the direction we need to go. And sometimes it's not that I think we should like let go of that idea, but let's quit trying to change the world. Let's try to be authentic and living the life that we should. And we might be amazed at how the world seems different to us.
Well, and it will be because your world is your world. My world is my world. You know? We're it. We're the center of it. It's there are as many worlds as there are people to observe them.
Well, and that is absolutely true.
So that's the only thing that will change it, really. Yeah,
we're going to change our perception. And, you know, one more just short thing. I always love the distinction between pain and suffering. Because pain may not be something we can, I mean, we're going to be in pain, but we don't need to suffer. Suffer is, I think, a voluntary thing.
It's a choice.
Mm-hmm. It's a choice. It's absolutely a choice. And, you know, if we could even differentiate that, and say, yeah, I've got a headache. Or, oh, yeah, this didn't work out the way I thought. But we don't have to suffer. We don't have to add that perception to anything in our lives. And when we know we're doing it, we can just stop and go, silly me, I forgot again.
Yeah. Well, and I like, you know, what Buddha said. You know, we suffer because we want things to be different than they are.
Mm-hmm.
We just accept things for what they are, to include a headache. Just, okay, it's there. Then there's no suffering because we've accepted it. And it probably will go away.
Yeah.
If we just accept it and not fight it.
That's right. That might be what's causing it in the first place. Yeah. But there again, the world doesn't have to change. We can change our perception of what it is. Like you said, I like that. Can you say the Buddha quote one more time?
We suffer because we want things to be different than they are.
Wow. That is pretty, very profound.
It is. It's
totally profound.
It's it. It's just it. You know?
Woo.
People are who they are, whatever's happening, the circumstances, what it is, and we are who we are in it. Accept that, and we're good.
Yeah.
We're free.
Yep. All right. Well, on that note, thank you very much for
having
me on your show today. I really appreciate it. And
I love having you here. Thank you for being here.
And thank you for joining us. And
yep. Well, everyone, you've been listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. My guest today was C.A. Brooks. We're here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way that you listen to the world, and also on YouTube. So I wish you all a very, very blessed week, and please stay tuned for Katie Weaver. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.